Good afternoon. I want to thank the Frohlich Financial Group, as always, for sponsoring the afternoon kollel. And this week's sponsors in particular, Rabbi Moshe and Shelley Brand, for Refuah Shleima, for Batsheva Pesel Bas Shena, and Le'ilei Nishmas, Sarah Bas Mordechai Pinchas HaKohen, Shadave Refuah Shleima, Neshama Shadave and Aliyah. So we completed the first topic in our survey of Shas Sugyas. Last week we did part two of Asa Docha Lo Sasei. And this week we move on to a new topic. It's a topic which is a Shas Sugya. It's relevant across Shas. And it has particular relevance to me. I find it particularly fascinating. I'm not even sure we'll get up to this component this week. But Mirz Hashem, my daughter's wedding is coming up in less than a week. And there is a practice that people have under the chuppah. There's a chumrah some Masadrei Kedushin have. And the question is, where does it come from? What is its source? Is it a chumrah? Is it Mikir Adin? What is its purpose? And that is, you'll see, the Masadrei Kedushin will tell the chassan to be Miyachid Edim. To say, I hereby designate so-and-so and so-and-so as my witnesses to the
exclusion
of all others. Why go through that motion? What is that ceremony all about? Why is the chassan designating specifically these two to the exclusion of all others? What does he have against all others? All right, they already got the kibud. Their name was called up. Everybody knows they're the two big head honchos. So why do they have to be given the kibud to the exclusion of all others? And I'm not even sure we'll get to that question today, maybe not until next week. But that really is the driver of how I got into this topic. And again, the topic is a broad topic about Eidus, about testimony, about the function of Eidim. Not all Eidim are created equal. Not all testimony is equal. We have different forms of testimony. And this is a Shas topic that you can give 10 years on. Again, our challenge is to try to give a cursory gloss of the issue so that we can become literate in it. So the story begins in Maseches Kedushin, page number 1, the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Samachay, Amud Aleph. And here the Gemara says the following. What happens, Amar Rav Yehuda, Makadish Be'id Echad, Ein Choshin L'Kiddushov. What happens if a person betroths a woman in front of one witness?
Worthless.
It's worthless. The Gemara says, Ein Choshin L'Kiddushov. The Kedushin is utterly and totally invalid. There was no betrothal. There is no Kedushin. If you turn to the next page, the Gemara continues. May Havala, there was a big discussion. Again, we're not going through the Gemara Kedushin. We go through the Gemara inside. We're just trying to draw out the principle from this Gemara to be able to drive our conversation. So the Gemara says on Samachay Amud Beis, May Havala, what was the Psak Halacha? Rav Kahana Amar Ein Choshen LeKedushav. Rav Papa Amar Choshen LeKedushav. It's actually a machlokas. According to Rav Papa, even if the betrothal, the Kedushin happened, Harat Mekudeshesli B'Tabazo, it happened in front of one valid witness, not two. Rav Papa is of the opinion that Choshen LeKedushav, the marriage is valid. Amar Rav Asher Rav Kahana Madaitech. How do you know? Where did you learn this from? You laughed when we learned Dover Dover Mimamun. So he says, where did you learn that from? Why do you know you need two witnesses? So Rav Kahana is under the opinion that if you get married in front of one witness, it's not good. In order to enact marriage, betrothal, kedushin, you need two witnesses. Where does he learn you'll need two witnesses? He says, I learned it from Davar Davar. It says Davar with Mamon. When it comes to money, it says the word davar, and we learn when it comes to money, how many witnesses do you need to testify that there was a loan, or there was a debt, or there's an obligation of compensation? You need two witnesses. So just like you have the word davar when it comes to monetary dispute, and it's two witnesses that lend veracity, that testify in a monetary dispute, so too we have the word davar when it comes to kiddushin, and you need two witnesses for kiddushin. But the Gemara asks, ima lahalon adaz baldin kamei edim dami. Afghan does baldin kame edim dummy. In the case of money, the truth is, you don't need any witnesses. If I come and I say, I admit, I offer an admission, I admit I owe you $100, that admission creates a bona fide debt as much as if 100 witnesses testified that I owe $100. So are you going to say, similarly, in the case of Kedushin or Gittin, are you going to say, Odaz baldin, that the groom or the husband can make an admission, I'm hereby married to her, or I'm hereby divorced from her? Gemara says, no, you can't say that. In the case where I make an admission, I owe you $100, I'm not obligating you in anything. The only one for whom a debt is created is me. So I'm allowed to take my own debt. In fact, there is an opinion among the Rishonim, we'll see this maybe a little bit later, that how does Hodas Baal Din work? Among the Rishonim, one opinion is it works midin matana. It's not really that I have ne'emanus. It's not that I'm trustworthy. It's not that my testimony has veracity as if it's 100 witnesses. It's that just like right now I could give you a gift of $100. So when I say I owe you $100, I'm believed to create the debt because I had it in my hand to be able to give you a gift. So what's the difference if I give you a gift of $100 or if I testify about myself I have a debt of $100? So Hadas Baal Din K'mei Edim Dami. I am believed when I make an admission about an obligation, about a debt to you. But we don't say you're believed when it comes to Kiddushin and Gittin. Why? Because when it comes to my debt to you, I'm not obligating you in anything. But if I step forward and I say, I hereby testify, I admit, I'm married to her, what have I done? I asked her on the rest of the world. I'm trying to obligate her. She's now forbidden to the rest of the world. Or if I say, I'm hereby divorced from her. I have a hodah. I have an admission that I'm divorced from her. I have. What obligation have I created for her there? She can't marry a kohen. She'll have the status of a divorcee. So the Gemara says, maybe you can't make it an exact parallel. You've obligated yourself, but you've also obligated someone else. So I'm not entitled to obligate myself when someone comes along. When I obligate myself and only myself, I can do that. Hodas Baal Din K'mei Edadami. How does that work? According to some, it works midin matana. According to others, it works midin ne'emanus. That I am more trustworthy about myself than anyone else. I remember, I would say as a kid, but it wasn't as a kid. I was living in Boca as an adult in the Kolo. We used to have a basketball game weekly. And there was a big debate. We were playing in a game, and the ball, one person said, the ball's out on you. It hit you while you were out of bounds. And the other person said, there's no way the ball didn't hit me. It went by me. It didn't hit me. So he said, yeah, I saw it hit you. It's out on you. And the other guy said, who's more believed about whether it hit me? You or me? I would know if it hit me. I'm more believed about whether it hit me than you are about whether it hit me. Okay, I'm not getting into the lumdus in the dinim of pickup basketball. Who's right and who you should go with? It was an interesting attempt at lumdus about the ne'amanus. Who the ball is out on. So again, some say, Hodas Baal Din, that when I make an admission about myself, it has the veracity of 100 witnesses because it really has the veracity of 0 witnesses. But since I can obligate myself right now with a declaration, I owe you $100, I might as well be believed that I owe you $100 from the past. Others say, no, it's ne'amanus. I'm believed about myself much more than anyone could be believed about me. I'm a Baal Alatzma. I own my own life. I'm believed about myself. But in any case, that's why in the world of Dinei Mamonos, but in the world of Gittin V'Kiddushin, you don't say that. So maybe you shouldn't apply Dover Dover. So we have 2 witnesses when it comes to monetary disputes. So you need 2 witnesses when it comes to Gittin V'Kiddushin. Aye, but they're not parallel. One Hodas Baal Din K'mei Edim Dami and the other not. And the Gemara seems to conclude nonetheless that we learn it from Dover Dover. And that, in fact, is how we paskin against Rav Papa. We paskin like Rav Kahana. We paskin like the opinion in the Gemara that if a person is mekadish in front of one witness, it is invalid. You need 2 witnesses. Just like 2 witnesses supply testimony, creating fact when it comes to a monetary dispute, similarly, you need 2 witnesses when it comes to getting the kedushin, establishing a marriage or a divorce. Yes. Right. Good. That's a separate topic. Maybe we'll come. Maybe it's a good shas topic. Eidus could be itself, many, many years. Right. So Adam Karavatsma, how do you balance that with Hodas Baal Din? When do you say it? When do you not say it? And so on. Yes. Hodas Baal Din is a chiv.
Could be applied to somebody else.
What do you mean? Yeah, but I'm entitled to give him matana even if I owe him $100. There's no shibud on the money. Shibud on land, not on money. Yeah, let's keep going weiter. Hold the questions a little bit because I want to cover ground. You see, we got a thick source book here. Yeah. On Eid Echad. Rav Kahana Amar in choshen lekedushav. Papa Amar choshen lekedushav. So I'm a Rav Kahana. Why do you say you need two? Because you're learning davar davar mi mamon. But how can you compare mamon with kedushin megitin if you see that there's a discrepancy? That's why it's going on. The Gemara in Sotan Dav Gimel, we're on page number 3. Learns from Gzeir Shav on the bottom again that we're learning. You need two for both types of edus, whether it's a davar sheb mamon or it is for getting the kedushin. You need two witnesses. Eidachad minala nemar kan ki matza b'devras davar v'nemar lahalan api shnei edim or api shlosha edim yakum davar ma davar amar lahalan edim shnayim afkan edim shnayim. That's what the Gemara in kedushin was referencing. The same limud of davar davar from this Gemara in Sota. From this Gemara in Sota, you see, you need two witnesses for getting the Kedushin, just like you need two witnesses for a case of davar sheb mamon. But the question is, how could you learn one from the other? What do you mean davar davar, you're learning from the case of money? The reason it's very peculiar to learn from the case of money is, does money really require witnesses at all? If I want to lend you money, do I have to have witnesses? Is the loan invalid? Is the debt not in place unless there are witnesses? The debt is in place even if there's no witnesses. My capacity to collect might be influenced by the presence of witnesses. I might be prudent to have witnesses so that later I can come and collect, but the debt is in force even if there's no presence of witnesses. So how can you learn from a case of davar sheb mamon? How can you learn from a case of money that you need two witnesses with money, you also need two witnesses with marriage? When it comes to money, the truth is you don't need witnesses at all to create a loan or a debt. So how do you learn one from the other? What's really going on? So let's take a look at Reb Chaim. Source or page number 4. Reb Chaim Brisker has a big chiddush in defining edus. We make the mistake of lumping edus as one. Edus means testimony. We require two witnesses for a loan, and two witnesses that someone died, and two witnesses for marriage, and two witnesses, and two witnesses, and two witnesses. Says Reb Chaim, we make the mistake of lumping two witnesses as if all witnesses are the same. Every pair of witnesses is the same. But Reb Chaim introduces the idea that there are in fact two types of witnesses. Two types of witnesses altogether. By way of background, even before we see the Reb Chaim inside, I'll tell you by way of background. Well, let's see the Reb Chaim inside. Reb Chaim is dealing with the case of Yibum. It's on the Rambam, Silchas Yibum v'Chalitza, Perek Dalet Lacha Tez Zayin. And says Reb Chaim the following. The Rambam says, "In chaltza b'fnei yachad afilo beino leveino uvalayla hareza chalitza psula." If a man does chalitza, when is the rechiv chalitza? A man dies without children, he has a surviving brother. The brother has a zika, he has a bond with his surviving wife. And either he has to realize that bond with a union to bear a child that will carry the deceased name, or in order to sever the bond, the zika between them, he has to perform chalitza. Let's say, and this still applies in modern times, doesn't happen often, but it happens. My wife's grandmother, it was determined after the Holocaust that she had a husband and a child before the war. It was determined that the child predeceased her husband. Both were murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram. She had a surviving brother-in-law. Before Yocheved's grandmother could marry her grandfather, she had to do chalitza with her brother-in-law who survived as well. Chalitza is still performed today. So the question is, what if chalitza is done? The whole process, Gemara Yevamos, Perek Acholetz, the shoe, the spitting, the whole unceremoniously ceremony of chalitza. So let's say it's done privately. Beino levena, he says to her, I learned Mishnayos, I'm holding in chalitza, let's do it together. Who needs the Beis Din? Who needs the Edim? Who needs the court? Who needs the pomp and circumstance? Says the Rambam, Beino levena, or Bifnei Yachid, it's psula, no good. And the Lecha Mishnah asks the question of the Sugya Yevamos. It says, Ma'isa be'achad shecholetz beino leveino be'beis ha'asurim v'ma'isa v'nei Rabbi Akiva v'hechshir. That Rabbi Akiva allowed in prison a case of chalitza where the ceremony was performed just between the two with no witnesses. The Gemara says, beino leveino mi'adana amar v'yudam ha'shmu v'edim ro'an oso mi'bachutz. They weren't really alone. There were witnesses, but they were watching outside. So imken harikash al aram shkaz vachdina b'stama v'lehizkir da'ir be'edim ro'an osa b'chutz uko kimtas ha-gemara. Why didn't the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, give the example that the Gemara had given? When is it that when they do it alone, it's no good? Sorry, when is it that Rabbi Akiva said it's good when they do it alone, when there were witnesses watching outside? The Rambam here says it's no good. Why doesn't he say it's only no good when there's nobody watching outside? So what does it mean, psula? I'm sorry, I mistranslated. The psula is not the chalitza. Even if the chalitza is done without witnesses, they're believed that chalitza was done lepasla al ha'achin. Meaning, let's say there's more than one surviving brother. She has a zika to more than one surviving brother. There's three brothers. One of them dies. He leaves a wife who didn't have any children. She has a bond to his two surviving brothers. One of those brothers did chalitza with her, but did it without witnesses. Is the other brother now eligible to do yibum? Or is the other brother excluded from a relationship with her? Meaning, is the chalitza he did without witnesses valid enough to now make her prohibited on the other brother? Or is the chalitza totally invalid that she's permitted to the other brother? Follow? So the Rambam said, pasla. V'akati tzarach in asr b'chayim l'fi mashikosav, the Nemuke Yosef, the chalitza b'lo edem lo av yechalitza. Im kein ha'ena pasela sosa gam ala achim. So according to the Nemuke Yosef, if you do chalitza with no witnesses whatsoever, so it's not chalitza. If it's not chalitza, why can't the third brother come along now and do yibum? You have to understand that when multiple brothers have a bond with the surviving wife, if one of the brothers acts on that bond, the others are ineligible. They revert back to the prohibition of Eishes Ach. This was the wife of their brother. Right? We saw last week with Asa Dochelos Asay. Yibum supersedes Eishes Ach. Normally a man is prohibited to marry his sister-in-law. Yibum says in certain circumstances, you have to marry your sister-in-law. But if you don't have to anymore, because your other brother did either Yibam or Chalitza, you revert back to being forbidden to marry her. So says the Nemuke Yosef, Chalitza that's done with no witnesses is not a valid Chalitza. If it's not a valid Chalitza, why can't the other brother marry her? The Rambam says he can't. The Rambam says that other brother will be puzzled even without Edom. So what's really going on here? And it's against this backdrop that Reb Chaim introduces a very interesting idea. He says there's not one kind of Edus. There's not one kind of testimony. There's not one category of witnesses. But in fact, there's at least, and for our purposes we'll say two, there are two categories of witnesses. Tzvei Dinim, a classic Reb Chaim, Tzvei Dinim. Says Reb Chaim, look at the underline. Matzinu trei gavnei Edus, says Reb Chaim, there are two categories of Eidim. There's Eidus L'Kiyum Adavar, and there's Eide Birur. Eide Kiyum and Eide Birur. Sometimes witnesses watch something because later they're going to need to testify about what happened. They have to lend verifiability, veracity. They have to be able to tell us the truth. So A murdered B, two witnesses C, first they gave a warning, and then they witnessed the murder, they can come to court. And when can we throw the book at A? When there are witnesses who testify and thereby confirm what happened for us. Those are Eide Birur. Those are Eidim who are establishing the facts. Sometimes the goal, the purpose of witnesses is to establish facts. But says Reb Chaim, other times, the purpose of the witnesses are not to establish the facts. The purpose of the witnesses are to establish the reality. That in order for the Kedushin to be Chal, the Eide Kiyum, Eide L'Kiyum Adavar, A man can give a woman a ring, and if they're not two witnesses to see it, there is no marriage that took place. The witnesses are not there to later testify, yes, we saw him give her a ring. Yes, the ring was a shava pruta, it was worth a penny. They're not there so that in the future they can tell you what happened. That's not their role. They're there because the only way, the mechanism, the means by which that change of status takes place is the presence of the witnesses. So edim lebirur hadavar, ede birur. Sometimes witnesses are to testify what happened. How do we know he murdered? How do we know he ate chalev? How do we know the man died, she could remarry? How do we know the food is kosher? Edim testify for birur hadavar, in order to offer clarity, in order to verify and validate what happened. But in the case of getting the kedushin, they're not there to verify the facts, they're there to establish the facts. Edim lekiyum hadavar, to create the reality. The question is never whether the man gave her the ring. The question is, unless two witnesses are there, the giving of the ring does not yield the kedushin. The only time the giving of the ring makes her an eish hazish is if there are two witnesses, l'kiyum hadavar. They're part of it. Much more important than the Masada Kedushin. You don't need a Masada Kedushin. Masada Kedushin could be, in the language of the Gemara, and at the risk of the trouble my Rebbe got in, a Maisa Kof, a monkey could be the Masada Kedushin. Masada Kedushin, I'm joking, you should be Yodei Tiv getting the Kedushin. Masada Kedushin needs to know the Halach and how to fill out a ksuba and so on and so forth. But for intents and purposes, you don't need a Masada Kedushin. The ones who will determine whether, when a Beis Din is determining a status, they don't say who is the Masada Kedushin, they say we're the two kosher witnesses. Because the witnesses in that case are Lekiyam Hadavar, says Reb Chaim. And the question Reb Chaim gets into here with Chalitza is, are the witnesses for Chalitza Lebirur Hadavar? Are the witnesses to tell us the Chalitza was done right? Are they there to testify in the future that what happened was done correctly? Is it Lebirur Hadavar? Are the witnesses Lekiyam Hadavar? Is Chalitza like getting the Kedushin? So what's the determinant whether it's Lebirur Hadavar or whether it's Lekiyam Hadavar? So go weiter in Reb Chaim. Again, we're not doing it justice to learn the whole piece in Reb Chaim. So a big Reb Chaim. Any Reb Chaim is a big Reb Chaim. This is a long Reb Chaim. To do justice, you have to go through the sugya in Reb Chaim. I am making an admission. We're not doing justice to Reb Chaim. We're taking this topic of Edus. Edim Lekiyam Hadavar and Lebirur Hadavar. I'm trying to give you some of the Rashi Prakim. And the Reb Chaim is one of the core to understand that. He really introduces these terms and this distinction. V'nira muchruch mizah, the left-hand column. D'choak din gerushin v'kidushin midin chalitza v'lishma. D'v'gitin v'kidushin tzarech das bailim al etzama gerushin v'akidushin. M'shem d'yekar ha'kidushin v'gerushin nasa yidea bailim v'hem ha'osrim v'hem ha'matirim al kein tzarech daitam v'lamahanya masha acherim alam dinosan kevin d'hem atzman lab b'nei dea ninu. So what is he saying? It's the following. When it comes to a fact, I don't need to know das bailam. A murdered B, I don't care what A's kavana was. I'm not talking about premeditated versus accidental versus, you know, whatever the different forms in the American legal system of murder. If A murdered B, he gave him asra, he violated the asra, he violated the warning, and A murdered B, what he intended, I don't care. I have two witnesses that testified they saw a murder. Just give an example in halacha in general. If a person kills an animal, he didn't do shechita, killed the animal. The animal is a nevela. The animal is, you can't eat it, it's a nevela. An animal that dies not through shechita is an avela. It could be through hunting, it could be through roadkill, it could be poisoning. An animal dies not through shechita. Shechita is the matir. Shechita, forget now whether shechita is a mitzvah or a matir, but shechita is what's necessary to be able to eat the animal. If it died other than through shechita, it's forbidden to eat the animal. Now, do I care? The sheikhet who blew the shechita, the hunter who shot the animal, do I care what his kavana was? I don't care what his kavana is. I look at the metzias. The metzias is, the nevela is the nevela. A nevela is aser. So when it comes to a nevela, the intent of the hunter or the shochet doesn't matter to me. I examine the animal, and if the animal's in the vela, the animal's in the vela. It's forbidden to eat. When it comes to kedushin, the whole means and mechanism through which the kedushin occurs is das bailam. When the man intends on being makna the woman, harayat mikudeshesli, and she expresses her intent to receive, to accept the kedushin, both parties need to give their das. How do you know that there's das? Edim l'kiyam hadavar. The edim who are there are the ones who are the mechanism through which they're the chalos kedushin. So whenever you have ratzon, whenever we need to know the das or the ratzon bailim, you need edim l'kiyam hadavar. When you don't need das or ratzon bailim, A murdered B. A lent $100 to B. I don't really care, das. I saw something, and I'm testifying about what I saw, the accurate details of what I saw. Then it's Edim Lekiyam Hadavar. One second, he continues. Just look at the Reb Chaim. Lefize Yishlamar. Tevin de Chalitza lo bi'inan kavanas bailam rakal etza maisa chalitza vadas bailam lo bi'inan behu. Chalitza, we just need you to know you're not misasik. We need you to know you're doing chalitza, not that you happen to take off your shoe. But you don't need das bailam in the sense like kedushin. So mishum da p'tur b'mameila v'losha yavam potra. It's not that the yavam has the das to release her through chalitza. Let's say the yavam doesn't have das to release her through chalitza, but he does the chalitza. As long as he did the chalitza is like a nevela. It's the reality. It's the totsah that matters. You don't need das like you do for getting the kedushin. Im kein are Yisrael is nus deliver sade al shakri velo lekiyume milsa uveemes gam chalitza belo edim av yechalitza. So the truth is, according to the Rambam, chalitza without edim at all is chalitza because you don't need das. And it happened just like if I lend you $100, I have a debt whether there were witnesses there or not. So too, if I did the chalitza ceremony with you, you're released from the zika, whether my das was to release you or not. Because what matters is not the intent. There's no need for das. What matters is the result, and chalitza was done. The alkein shapir pasuk Rambam, the chalitza beino leveino avya chalitza psula. Kevin the din eden lamaakev b'chalitza v'rak mishum chesron beizdan the ve'inan gabi chalitza mishum ze avya chalitza psula. There's another technicality, which is the problem if you do it beino leveino, but the problem is not be yisod that you didn't have edim, because you don't need edim l'kiyam adavar v'chalitza. You need edim l'kiyam adavar for getting the kedushin. There the witnesses are not about the being able to testify in the future they're married. They're about making the marriage happen, as opposed to edei birur, who are all about being able to testify in the future that the edus happened. So why is this significant? I'll give you an afkamina. Turn the page to Rav. Well, first you see Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes his grandfather with this chakira on page number 6 in Rishima Shiurim on Yevamos. In several places, Rishir Shirim, the Rav builds upon this yesod. The Chakira, the distinction between Eide Kiyum and Eide Birur. Not all Eidus is the same. Sometimes witnesses are just testifying to a reality and reporting accurate facts, and their role is to report. There are witnesses to report, and there are witnesses to establish. So here on page 6, which is Rishima Shirim, the collection of the Shirim of Rabbi Soloveitchik, of the Rav, B'chaim's grandson. He circled the Zion on the right hand side. Be'evan ha'ezer pligia mechaber v'arama b'din edei kiyum b'yibum. L'fi ha'mechaber yibum kona b'li edim l'kiyum adover. F'i ha'rama yibum kona rakim edei kiyum. U'bir amor in Rabchaim l'kula yama yibum avi ma'isa kinyin. El de pligia ha'im etza ma'isa kinyin dover sheb'er v'atzorach edei kiyum. V'lachin yibum nami tzorach edim. U'dilma dover sheb'er v'atzorach edim k'di l'kayim ez das b'ilim l'aso sa kinyin. In other words, what creates the Isser with Arayas? I'll give you an example. It's not in your source sheets. The Gemara in Ksuba says in the name of Rabbi Lazar, let's say a man says, Pesach Batsuach Matzasi. He marries what he thinks is a virgin of Psula, and after their wedding night he says, She had no hymen, she was no basula, she clearly was mezana, she clearly was disloyal to me even after the first stage of marriage. We had Erison, she was disloyal to me, Pesach Patsuach Matzasi, I found her that she was not the Basula I thought. That's, he says that. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Nem on la'osra alav. She is forbidden to him. And the question is, what's the mechanism through which she's forbidden to him? The Gemara asks, could Rabbi Lazar really say this? Rabbi Lazar holds Einisha Neseres Abayla El Iskei Kino Vistira Kamaisa Shahaya. Only in the case of Sota, where you have two witnesses who see her seclude herself, and he tells her not to be alone. So why is she also to him when he says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi? There aren't two witnesses who saw her be Mazana. So the Gemara says, so Tosfos says there in Ksubas, that the Gemara thought, Netzavamina, you need what we'll call Eide Kiyum. In order to make her Asur to him, you need Eidim L'Kiyum Adavar. Just like in order to make her married to him, you need Eidim to create the relationship, the bond of marriage. So maybe you need also witnesses to create the prohibition. Really, meaning, yes, we believe him, Pesach Matzuch Matzasi. We believe him that he found that she wasn't a virgin, but maybe she's not Asur, because this Nus has to be with Eidim. The infidelity has to be witnessed by two witnesses. Maybe you need the presence of two witnesses in order to create the... And the Gemara ends up concluding, no, because the Eidim are Labir Adavar, but not Lakiyam Adavar. Meaning, if she's Mizana, she's Asur to him. She's not only Asur to him if that is established through testimony. The testimony is there to report that in fact she was disloyal. But the act of disloyalty creates the prohibition even without the witnesses. In other words, according to Tosfos, or applying Reb Chaim's understanding within the Tosfos, the Havamina was that even in the case of Znus or Arayas, the Eidim are Lekiyam Adavar. To which we conclude, no, because you don't need Das. Right? This works with Reb Chaim. That's what Reb Chaim is saying. Sometimes a reality is a reality. When she cheats on him, that's like a nevela. I don't care what the Shochet was thinking when he messed up the Shechita and turned it into a nevela. The bottom line is, if I examine it now, it's a nevela. It's a nevela. I don't care what she was thinking when she had an affair on him. The bottom line is, if she was mezana, if she was disloyal to him, she was disloyal to him. That's unlike Gittin v'Kedushin. Gittin Kedushin are the exception. That they require Das. They require, however you translate Das, they require Das. They require intent. We'll call it intent. They require intent. And because they require intent, what will elevate the ritual experience to confirm that they have the intent is the presence of the witnesses. And there, the witnesses are Eidim, Lekiyam Adavar. So again, Reb Chaim has established these Tvei Dinim. There's two types of Eidus. There's Eidus Labirur Adavar. Later they'll come and testify what happened. And Eidus Lekiyam Adavar, witnesses who we don't need them to testify in the future. We just need them to have been present in that moment. There's many nafkaminas between Eidus Lekiyam Adavar and Eidus Labirur Adavar. Many different nafkaminas between them. Can anyone think of a nafkamina? Women are not qualified to serve as either type of Eidim. Not because they don't believe them. What? Because Eirecha Neman Bisurin. So a woman's testimony is accepted in certain situations. And the reason it's not, has nothing to do with women's believability. It has nothing to do with their Ne'emanus. It's a technicality for other reasons. A king also can't serve as a dayan or in court. There's nothing to do with their believability. But what's another nafkamina? What's a nafkamina between Eidim Lekiyam Adavar, Eidim Labirur Adavar? So we'll see a few. We'll see a few. Okay, so that was Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim's understanding. Yeah, that the machlokas. He doesn't know what he's doing in order to not be mizasek. In other words,
we give him a special.
He does not need intent. He does not need intent. That was the point. In other words, his doing chalitza with her, according to the Rambam, is no different than her being mizana, having an affair with a man. A reality has been created, and that reality will be, there'll be testimony that I saw the reality, but the witnesses are not an integral part of creating the reality. Sometimes witnesses testify to a reality that didn't need them. So if A lends B money, witnesses could witness that. And in the future, they might be brought to court to testify about what they saw. But their watching and later testifying is not integral to creating the reality. Whereas when it comes to marriage, getting to Kiddushin, or maybe within Yibum, their watching is not tangential, it's not testimony about a reality, it creates the reality. And the reality cannot be created without them. They're integral to the reality. Okay. That's Reb Chaim's understanding.
Witnesses at Yibum are simply to be mavayer that one will perform.
Right, meaning, what happens if I say I lent you $100 and you say, yeah, I borrowed $100. Do I need witnesses at all?
No.
The witnesses offer nothing new. We've established a reality and the debt is in place. If my wife and I both say, I gave her a ring, Shava Pruta, and she accepted it, are we married?
No.
Not if there's no witnesses. Sometimes witnesses are testifying about a reality, sometimes they create the reality. I want to go a little bit further here. So,
when Hezekiah was with the Raisa,
what do the words mean? Like, every Sabbath on the Shikra, I didn't know that was how to use
it. That's in the context of Znus. Of Znus. I want to go weiter.
The Skuka is with the Raisa, she has to prove they're not establishing anything.
Correct. Again, I want to stay at the 30,000 foot level. We're trying to just get some yedius and the idea of edus. So far, if you walked away with one thing, it's that there's not one type of edus. For Reb Chaim, there's two. Edim lebira davar, edim lekiyama davar. Sometimes witnesses testify. Sometimes witnesses create a reality. Just to crystallize it, I'll give you one nafkamina. You could skip ahead to Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan on page 10. Rav Elchanan mentions in Kobetz Shiurim on Baba Basra on page 10. Avshalom ad shliach psoli zeh urak lekiyam adavar d'bishas kedushin ubal din v'lamikri eid avak shemeid achara mais lebrei milsa enachanami neman de logara mishnestalik. What happens if somebody sends a shliach to marry a woman for him? Can the shliach also be an aid? Shliach nasa aid. It's a sugya. We're going to see it. Can a shliach be an aid? So it makes sense, according to the opinion, the shliach can't be an aid. Why can't the shliach be an aid? I send you to be my agent to betroth the woman in my behalf. So you can't also be a witness on the, right? You're serving in the role as the chassan under the chuppah. You can't both be the chassan and the aid because you're negei b'davar. Good. Let's say I now in a year want to call the shliach to be an aid as an aid birur. How do we know that A married B? We're looking for some witnesses who will testify. They were at the wedding that A married B. Can he serve as an aide? Rabbi Chanan says yes. Why? Because he's no longer Nogei B'davar. In the first time, when he stood under the chuppah as the shliach, as the agent, he was an aide lakiyam adavar. An aide lakiyam adavar is a bal din. He can't serve as an aide. He can't serve as the shliach and the aide lakiyam adavar. But in the future, when we need you now to come and testify about what happened, and now you're serving as an aide, levurei milsa, now you can. So, and so on. It says, what happens if they became pasul right after the maisa? So, an aide walks out from the chuppah. Mirtz Hashem, Sunday, my daughter will get married. We'll have two aidim. We'll watch the Mesiras HaTabas, they'll watch the giving of the ring. Hareat Mekudeshesli puts the ring on her finger. They walk down from the chuppah and they go right back to the Hard Rock Cafe, sit at the blackjack table and do something which will make them pasul eidus. I'm not saying if you play blackjack, it's a whole other sugya, Mesachik Bekuvya, if you're a gambler, is that your sole way of livelihood? Or do you have another way of livelihood? But let's say something even more. They walk away and they take off their yarmulke, and they eat nevelis atreifus, and the mechal Shabbos, and their bowl and erva on the bima, and they do everything they could possibly do to make themselves pasul for edus. They walk away from the chuppah and make themselves pasul for edus. Is the wedding good or no good? The wedding is good. They themselves can't testify in the future that they were the witnesses.
But they're afraid of the
So Rabbi Chanan says, in other words, if tomorrow, so they walk out from the chuppah and they go and eat nevelas of treifas, basa b'chalav, take off the yarmulke and declare there's no God. And the next day, we need witnesses who are going to testify that in fact the kids got married. Okay, they can't serve as witnesses. They've eliminated themselves as Edom Labira Davar. They can't serve as witnesses to testify, to validate. But does it undo the wedding? No. Why? Because they were Edom Lekiyam Adavar.
So what is this to the exclusion?
Hold on.
For a minute,
because when they served as Edom Lekiyam Adavar, they were good Edom. And therefore, Edom Lekiyam Adavar, it remains. Okay, all this from Chaim. So far, there's one Yesod. There's not one type of Edus. There's two types of Edus. An Edus that testifies about a reality. I saw A lend B money. I saw A murder B. I saw A eat basar b'chalav. There's testimony about a reality. And then there's a testimony or a witnessing that creates the reality. Edus l'kiyam adavar. That's with Gittin the Kedushin. The question was, what about Yibam? Where does Yibam fit in?
How do you learn that you take Zayr
Shulam? Oh. So Ketzos has a different, that's a perfect segue to the Ketzos. The Ketzos has a different understanding about how Eidei Kiyum work. Ketzos has an entirely different understanding. I would think, Reb Chaim's understanding is, that the Eidim are as much as part of the ceremony, to put it differently, as the Chasan and Kala. Yeah. You need a Chasan, you need a Kala, you need two Eidim. If you have two Eidim and a Chasan, you don't have a wedding. Two Edom and a Kala, you don't have a wedding. A Chasan and a Kala and no Edom, you don't have a wedding. The Edom there, we call them Edom, Mechubed with Edom, Kedushin. We call them Edom, but it's not the Edom of you're being deposed, you're being, what do you call it, subpoenaed to court. It's an Edom, Lekiyam Adavar. That was Reb Chaim. Ketzos has a different understanding. That the Edom are not just creating a formal ceremonial environment. It's not just that by being there, they're adding seriousness and gravitas to the moment so that we know that the das makne and the das niknes, that the chasan and kala both have das. That's not what they're there for. The Ketzos understands it differently. And he does based on the Gemara in Kedushin that we saw. The Gemara was looking for the source, we just saw this, of two Edim, and the Gemara learns from money, davar davar. Just as monetary decisions are only through the testimony of two, so too divorces and marriage through the testimony of two. We pointed out that's a bizarre comparison because monetary disputes don't need witnesses at all. So how could you learn you need two witnesses for marriage and divorce from monetary, where monetary doesn't even need the two witnesses at all? And the Gemara itself responds to that by talking about this notion of the admission, kamei edim dami, not kamei edim dami. And it's a funny kind of answer. It doesn't seem to really answer it. And the question remains in place. How could you learn davar davar from mamon? How can you learn you need two witnesses for kedushin from money? You don't need witnesses for money, and you absolutely do need witnesses for marriage. So there must be some connection, some common denominator that's bonding the two witnesses of money and the two witnesses of marriage. So the Ketzos says the following. Let's read the Ketzos. We're on page 7. Seven. Back to page 7. I'm keeping you on your toes today. We're doing a little source sheet calisthenics. We're going back and forth. So the Ketzos is a commentary in Shulchan Aruch, here on Choshen Mishpat, and in Siman Resh Mem Aleph, the Ketzos says the following. Top of page 7. Yeah, it's going on the Shulchan Aruch that says, Hanosin Matana L'Chaver, if you look at the bottom paragraph on page 7, in Hilchos Matana, Hanosin Matana L'Chaver Ben Karka Ben Metatel Ein Mekaba Zocha Be'el Be'echem Me'adrochem Shakona Zocha Behem. If a person wants to give a gift, be it real estate or movable property, the person receiving the gift only acquires it through one of the means of transaction. Be'kevin Shakona Be'echem Me'adrochem Ahem Afidla Shalom B'fnei Edim Kona. And even if there's no witnesses there to observe that the transaction was done properly, nevertheless, he acquires it. So let me put this in simpler terms. You want to give me your iPhone as a gift after shiur. Rabbi, thank you so much. Afternoon call has been so meaningful. I love the survey of Shas topics, Shas figures class. And I brought you a gift. Here's the new iPhone. You hand it to me. I lift it. I do Hagbah on it. Which Kenyan do you have to do? Meshicha, Mesira, Hagbah, whatever the Kenyan Suda, whatever the Kenyan is. I do a Kenyan on it. It's mine. I own it. No backsies. Can't take it back. There's been a transaction. I've acquired it from you. I, there were no two witnesses there. I did the proper transaction. I've acquired it. Im shnei modim, if we both agree. Abudvarim lo zacha mekabel ela kol echad yachol achzebo. V'mar melitin l'chaver matanam wetes imchozer b'yesh b'mishim b'chuser amana. If it's just with words, bedvarim, there's no actual transaction that took place, so then it can be reversed. Then there is backsies. Then you can reverse it. Okay, that's the din in Shulchan Aruch. Why does the Ketzos make his comment on this? We'll see. So Ketzos says about this the following. Ekel and Medak, the second line on the top. Mashikosa begin the condition to be in a shnei edem al guf ha-maisa. Ubeino leveino lav klumu. V'afil l'shnei amodim. So Ketzos is now going to contrast what we just read in the Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to a transaction, an acquisition of real estate or movable property, I don't need witnesses. If we both agree that you gave me the iPhone, and I in fact acquired the iPhone through a legitimate form of acquisition, of transaction, it's my iPhone. It can't reverse it. It's my iPhone. Can't call backsies. And says the Ktzos, in contrast, in getting the Kedushin, even though the bride and the groom both agree, and the proper transaction took place, all the same criteria. But if there aren't two witnesses, it's meaningless. V'yafinla, in Perek Omer, davar davar mi mamon. And where do we learn that from? We learn davar davar from mamon. V'kevin digabe mamon miskayim ha-maisa b'li eidim, kol she'inyan emes, v'kedushim v'gitin, divim mamon yolofla, niskayim ha-maisa b'lo eidim. So Ketzos is bothered by exactly our question. The whole source that you need two witnesses for marriage is the fact that two witnesses for money. But money doesn't need witnesses at all. If we both agree a proper transaction took place, then it took place and it's irreversible. So how do you learn you need two witnesses for marriage from a place that you don't need witnesses at all for the transaction to be complete? If in fact you're learning it from davar shebe mamon, from money, then you should say you don't need witnesses at all when it comes to getting the kedushin. When it's kashisi b'zad shematzasi kushizu b'chidush ha-rashba, says the Ketzos, I was so bothered by it until I found that the Rashba asked this question as well. And then he references several who asked this question. Turn the page. Page 8. And the Ketzos continues with the following. He says, where I underline, on the right side. He says the following. His premise, his thesis of the Ketzos is, and then we'll read it inside, but let me tell it to you outside and then we'll see it inside. He says, the Edim at a wedding are not in fact part of the actual ceremony. What they're doing is offering verifiability for the process. But if the process, let me put it to you differently. When it comes to financial, when it comes to davar shebe mamon, so we've created, it's verifiable through admission. I don't need witnesses in order to create the verifiability. I've done it through the admission of one. Hodas ba'din kamei edim dami. Since admissions are acceptable form of testimony when it comes to money, if I say I owe you $100, I owe you $100. And that is a real debt. So an admission is a legitimate form of testimony when it comes to davar shebe mamon. Why is it a legitimate form of testimony? Because it verifies a truth. It's verifying the truth through the Baal Din, through the litigant himself, so it doesn't need witnesses from the outside. What the Gemara meant to say that we learn davar davar from mamon is that just like a financial dispute needs verifiability, verification, need to know what happened, it happens to be that there you can create it internally by one of the litigants himself. Hodas baldin kamei edim dami. With marriage, the litigants themselves cannot. An admission is unacceptable testimony when it comes to marriage. So there, how can you verify? Only through the presence of other witnesses. The other witnesses are there to verify. So the Ketzos is redefining edei kiyum. It's not that their presence is what creates the reality, but rather they need to be there in order to make it something which is verifiable. See, when I lend you $100, even if there's no witnesses, it's verifiable. Why is it verifiable? Because later I myself would be believed to say I owe you $100. Since I myself would be believed to say I owe you $100, because Hodas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami, one can verify the debt even without witnesses. But when it comes to marriage, where neither party can admit testimony by their own admission, the only way to verify what happened is the presence of the two witnesses. So for the ktsos, the presence of the two witnesses are not the mechanism through which the marriage happens, but they're a technicality. It didn't happen unless I could verify it. And I can't verify it internally through the subjects themselves, the bride and the groom. I can only verify it externally through the presence of two witnesses. So you understand the difference between the ktsos and Reb Chaim? For Reb Chaim, edim l'kiyam adavar, for Reb Chaim, are goof a part of the reality. I need a bride, I need a groom, and I need two witnesses. And if any of those four principles are missing, I have no marriage. Whereas for the ktsos, I need a bride and a groom. How can I verify that the bride and groom actually got married? If I had some other way of verifying it, I wouldn't need two witnesses. It happens to be I need two witnesses because it's the only way of verifying. But not because the two witnesses create the reality. The two witnesses are the way that we can later enable the verifiability that we can later verify said reality. That's how we verify said reality. Let's see it inside. Let's see it in his words inside. He says the following in the right-hand column. Zok tektsois. Ikar atam. First, he's rejecting the idea that Hodas Baldin Kameidim Dami works through Matana. Remember I told you that according to one opinion, it works through Matana. If you go back up two lines. Nirlin is daiti bezelofi mashikosov. It's not working through matana. When I say, I owe you $100, why am I believed to owe you $100? Because I could always just right now give you $100 as a gift. Ktsos rejects that reason. The reason is not because of matana, but rather it's ne'amonis. I am trustworthy legabe myself. Skip to the bottom now. Ulefiza nira hodik sivap pishnei edim yakum davar haynu velo edim lomis kaim davar klal. What does it mean? Apishnei edim yakum davar through two witnesses. Through two witnesses you can verify a reality. Degabe mamon debal din nemen kame edim hare edav imo. When it comes to money, the litigants themselves have believability. They can verify what happened. When it came to marriage, the parties themselves do not have a ne'emanus. You don't say Hodas chasin or hodas kala kemei edim, and because they can't verify it internally, you have to verify it externally. Kamashikosav aran perikam megarish. Now he's going to get into supporting his idea based on an opinion of the Ran. What's this opinion? The Mishnah in Kiddushin has the following. The Gedzmachlokas. What works? Edei mesira. Rabbi Lazar says Ede Mesira Karti, and Reb Meir holds Ede Chasima Karti. A man is divorcing his wife. In order to break the bond of marriage, in order to create divorce, there has to be the giving of a get. We said, you need testimony. Kedusha needs two witnesses, get needs two witnesses. Where do you need the two witnesses when it comes to a get? Which two witnesses are the ones who create who make the get valid? The two witnesses who sign the get, the two witnesses who see the giving of the get from the husband to the wife. So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Lazar holds Ede Mesira Karti. The witnesses to the delivery of the document create the divorce. Rabbi Meir says Ede Chasima Karti. The witnesses who sign it. This is debate. So there's a fascinating question. For Rabbi Meir, who holds Ede Mesira Karti. I'm sorry, Eide Chasima Karti. I don't understand. Two witnesses sign a get, and they're not there when the husband gives it to the wife. How is she divorced without witnesses? It's like two witnesses. It didn't take place with the Chasima. If the get was never given to her, she's still married. If the get was signed by the most legitimate witnesses in the world, if Rabbi Shakin himself signed the get. But if the get isn't given, she's still married. So she's married until the get's given. It's the giving of the get that breaks the marriage. So according to Rabbi Meir, Eide Chasima Karti, it's the signing of the get. How could Rabbi Meir agree that a get works if there's no witnesses there to testify when it's given? Which Eidim are playing that role for Rabbi Meir who are watching the dissolvement of the marriage? In fact, Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by this so much. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that Rabbi Meir requires Eide Kiyum to watch the giving of the get. When Rabbi Meir says Eide Chasima Karti, he means they're enough to manufacture the get. But to utilize the get, you still need Eidim. You still need Eidim. In other words, for Rabbi Lazar, a get without Chasimas, as long as it's given to her, still works. For Rabbi Meir, on top of the witnesses who will watch the get given, according to Tosfos, in addition, you need Eidim signed on the get. Again, we're not studying Gittin. Just want to get to the point that the Ktsais, so Rabbi Shaka give you his share. So the question, you understand the question? Again, that's Tosfos. It bothered him so much. But again, with Rabbi Meir, how could it be that at least the Pashup Shah and Rabbi Meir, Eide Chasima Karti, there's no witnesses watching the get be given? How can the get function? How does the get work? It becomes an even stronger question based on the Ran. That's what the Ktsos is quoting over here. He holds that even Rabbi Lazar would allow a divorce without Eide Mesira. Rabbi Lazar allows Eide Mesira without Eide Chasima, but he doesn't require them. He allows it, but he doesn't require them. So you could ask the same question Rabbi Lazar. What do you mean he allows it, but he doesn't require them? It's the same question then for Rabbeinu Tam, it's on Rabbi Meir, and for the Ran, the Rif, it's on Rabbi Lazar. But it's the same question on both. How could a get be valid to dissolve a marriage without witnesses present to witness the get being given? So the Ktsos explains very, very easily. He says, what's the goal of witnesses? Unlike Rabbi Chaim. For Rabbi Chaim, it's a strong akasha. It's an eisen akasha. Why? Because Eide Kiyum, there's no marriage without witnesses. There's no divorce without witnesses. They're part of the process itself. But for the Ktsos, the witnesses, even Eide Kiyum, are not part of the process itself. They're just to verify. When it comes to Davar Sheba Mamon, the litigants can verify. When it comes to marriage and divorce, the litigants, so to say, can't verify. You need external verification, so you need witnesses to verify. But let's say you could verify without witnesses. Would you need the witnesses? So Ktsos says, what Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Meir hold is, if you have a get, which is signed by two Eidim, so we know it was authored Lishma, we know it was written correctly, and now that get is in the hand of a woman, that's verification that the get was done. In other words, for the Ktsos, you need verification about what happened. In most cases, the witnesses are the only way to achieve the verification. But if you could achieve the verification without the witnesses, then you don't even need the witnesses. So it's a absolutely fundamental difference between the Ktsos and Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, Eidas Lekiyam Adavar, is that the witnesses are there to create the reality. For the Ktsos, the witnesses are not there to create the reality. The witnesses are there to verify about a reality that was created. Hold on. Let's keep reading. Begin the Kiddushin L'mahani Yodos Badin, the Lahem the Kamei Edim, U'mishim D'chayv L'acharini B'Kiddushin D'asa Akrov Oseh, U'B'Gerishin HaKoin. Both in the case of Kiddushin, there's a Chov L'acharini, like the Gemara had said. And Gerishin, she can't marry a Kohen. Tzorach Edim L'guf HaMaisach D'esh Yodeh La'alma, M'shemachi Tzorach Shnei Edim K'sherim. Im Ken Yalav Shapir Dover Dover Mimamon. Ma Hasam Api Shnayim Edim Yakum Dover, Ein Kim Ola Dover, Hein L'kinyon Ola Shar Maisach L'api Edim, El Gabin Mamon Baal Din Hu Ha'ed, Begitin V'Kedushin Bo Edim K'sherim, M'shem De Baal Din Eino Ed. So now we understand the Limud. The Ktsos's Kasha was on the Gemara and Kedushin. Gemara said, how do you know you need two witnesses for Kedushin? Dover Dover, we learn it from Mamon. We asked, learn it from Mamon? Mamon, you don't need witnesses at all. How could you learn it from Mamon? Says the Ketzos, it makes sense you're learning it from Mammon. What Mammon said is, you need to be able to verify. Aye, with Mammon, it's true you could verify even without witnesses, because the Baal Din is the witness. Meaning, Davar Sheba Mammon also needs a witness according to the Ketzos. But who's the witness? It's inaccurate to say, how can you learn from money? Money, you don't need witnesses. Money also you need witnesses, because you need to be able to verify. With money, the litigants themselves can be the witnesses. So now we can learn getting the Kiddushin from Mammon. In both of them, you need witnesses. In the case of money, the litigant himself could be the witness. In the case of getting the Kiddushin, you need two external witnesses. Azoy zokti ketzos. So machlokas Reb Chaim and Ketzos, how to understand the Edi l'kiyam hadavar versus Edim l'bir hadavar, which is really the first half of the shir. We'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem next week. And where we'll pick it up next week is, as I alluded to, the question of the following. Now I've got my two witnesses. So now we've established the role of my two witnesses. I don't know who my two witnesses yet are for Sunday. That's part of the work this week. But whoever the two witnesses are going to be under the chuppah on Sunday, we know who they are. The problem is a Gemara in Makos. That what happens if you have an entire unit of witnesses, and among them are those ineligible, invalid to be witnesses, they invalidate the entire unit. So there'll be a large audience at the wedding watching the chuppah. Among them will be no psulim, because Baruch Hashem, everyone's so righteous who's invited to this wedding. But there'll be family members. Family members are ineligible. Doesn't that invalidate all the witnesses, even the two who will be standing under the chuppah? That'll be the question we'll pick up with in our analysis of Eidos and Mirtz Hashem next week.